This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. And midterm elections are just days away. And in ads to voters, Republicans and Democrats alike are focusing on issues like healthcare, taxes, jobs, and immigration. But one thing that's not getting a lot of attention, climate change. Less than half of 1% of campaign ads explicitly mention climate change. That, despite recent warnings from the United Nations and others that predict catastrophic damage as early as 2040. Our next guests take those warnings seriously and say that these issues need to be talked about more, regardless of where you stand on the political spectrum.
My name is Kyle Myard-Skop. I'm 29 years old. I'm the national organizer and spokesperson for Young Evangelicals for Climate Action, moderate, independent, and climate change is a top issue for me.
Hi, my name is Danielle Butcher. I am 22 years old, and I work as the COO of the American Conservation Coalition. I am a conservative, and climate is a top three issue for me.
My name is Anaji Arnis, 18 years old, the co-founder of a youth-led climate justice organization called Zero Hour. Climate is definitely my number one issue, and I am a liberal.
Kyle, Danielle, and Zanaji are millennials, the only generation in which a clear majority believe that there's solid evidence of climate change and who also say humans are the primary cause. And within the Republican Party specifically, there's a growing gap between millennials and older Republicans on the impact of climate change and whether the government is doing enough to address it. We start with Kyle of Young Evangelicals for Climate Action.
I grew up in a conservative Christian home that taught me many, many great things, how to love the world, how to love people, how to love Jesus, but not how to care about climate change. It just wasn't on the radar. And then a series of events in my life, including my older brother, who I respect deeply, kind of having his own conversion on the issue, contributed to me beginning to understand the connections between my faith and the issue of a changing climate. And so for me, as I think about climate change, I can't think of it as separated from my commitment to the gospel, to love God, and to love people. And when I look out at the impacts of a changing climate, I see that it's harming God's creation and that it's harming my neighbors. So for me, acting on climate change is a moral issue, and it's a way for me to deepen calling as a Christian to follow Jesus by loving God and loving people.
Zanaji, I'd like to get your thoughts on that. Why is climate change something that's important to you?
Yeah, so for me, I was definitely like very into sustainability and thinking about conservation of like wildlife sanctuaries and animal life for a really long time. But it wasn't until starting my work with Zero Hour that I was really focusing on climate justice. And for me, I think it's very important to see that like climate change is a very human issue, and that we need to provide justice for the people who are being adversely impacted by the fossil fuel industry. And so that's something that I've been working to do. And that's why I really want to be involved with climate justice organizing.
And Danielle, what about you? Why is climate change a key issue for you?
Sure. So opposite of Kyle, I was actually raised in a very progressive home. My father works in the solar industry, and so ideals such as protecting the earth were ingrained in me from a very young age. And when I was given the opportunity to work on environmental issues, I jumped at it because it's just something that I've always been very passionate about.
So I want to get a little more specific here. So Danielle, you said you were raised in a progressive home, but now you're conservative, you're Republican. How do you feel about the way the GOP has dealt with climate change? And do you see there being some sort of generational divide between older Republicans and younger Republicans on this issue?
So I think that historically, the GOP has done a pretty good job of taking care of the environment generally. I believe that once climate change or global warming came into the discussion, they sort of shied away from environmental issues. And I would say the last decade hasn't been as stellar as it could be. There's definitely a lot of room for improvement. I will say that in my work on Capitol Hill, speaking with legislators, a lot of them are very willing to find compromises and to act on climate.
And why do you think that there is so much? You said this sort of thing, they've shied away from it. But what do you think? Has it become too politicized in the party right now for us to actually see some change?
Right now, I don't think so. I believe in the early 2000s, you saw a lot of polarization around the issue, especially as the rhetoric tended to be towards Al Gore's, like, the entire earth will be flooded by 2020. People don't really respond well to those types of scare tactics and that type of rhetoric. And so as that really became the main narrative. People walked away from the issue. And I think that if we can, you know, kind of calm that down and find some common ground on the issue between both parties, it can definitely be something where bipartisan work is accomplished.
Zanaji, I want to bring you in here also. What do you think the Democrats have done? And do you think they're doing enough? I mean, I feel like, you know, there's less than 1% of the campaign ads, just so you all know, that are going out before the midterms are talking about climate change. So on either side of the political divide, there doesn't seem to be a lot of messaging. So do you think the Democrats are doing enough? And if so, why haven't they made this a bigger issue?
Yeah, I think definitely the Democrats are doing a lot of work for the environment. But I mean, there's a lot more that can be done. Definitely the Obama administration with putting regulations on vehicles and like stopping the addition of more fossil fuel infrastructure with pipelines was good, but a lot of pipelines did get expanded in the U.S. during his administration. And definitely one thing that has a lot of people that I've talked to who are my age very angry about from the Democratic Party is that the Democratic National Committee went back on a resolution that they passed saying that the DNC would not take any donations from the fossil fuel industry. I think right now, a lot of elected officials and candidates running for office aren't really focusing on the environment as something that's one of their key points for their campaign, because it's not really an issue that's this flashy thing that people can point at and say, oh, like, as an elected official, I like stopped this thing. It's more of an issue of prevention rather than reaction, which is, I think, something that we see a lot more in politics.
Kyle, I want to ask you as well. You mentioned this a little bit in your first answer, but do you see the evangelical community having a sort of generation gap when it comes to how they approach climate change?
Absolutely. What we find when we travel around to evangelical Christian college campuses, when we're talking in churches, is particularly among our generation. A few years ago, we had to begin conversations way at the beginning. And now we're able to kind of jump right in. So I think we're definitely seeing a gap, generationally speaking. You know, we're the first generation, millennials in particular, we're the first generation who are really going to have to live with the consequences of a changing climate. You know, the most recent Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report said as soon as 2040, we're going to be seeing some of the catastrophic impacts of climate change. I'm going to be in my mid-40s by then. You know, I'm going to have hopefully half of my life left. So it's a different issue for our generation because it's our future we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to get a sense from Danielle. There's a lawsuit right now that's being brought by 21 plaintiffs. They're ages 11 to 22, and they're demanding that the government fight climate change. They're basically making the argument similar to what you just did, Kyle, that, you know, in many ways, this is going to affect their future, but it also deprives them of their constitutional rights. I'm wondering if you think that this is an effective way to go about, you know, making the change that we're all talking about today.
I think it's certainly a good way to open a dialogue on the subject. As far as enacting actual substantive change goes, I'm not sure it will accomplish too much. I think a more productive approach would be to find legislation that you support and lobby as a constituent on behalf of it. As I mentioned earlier, I think that legislators are very willing to work on these issues. Something that we're told very often is that they just don't hear from their constituents about it. And if the people who are voting them into office aren't, you know, saying that this is a priority for them, then lawmakers aren't going to prioritize these issues. So we need to be more vocal as constituents.
So let's talk about that, because we've got three fantastic folks here at this metaphorical table, if you will. And I'd love to hear what each of you thinks could be a potential fix. Kyle, let's start with you.
So Young Evangelicals for Climate Action, for a long time, kind of our policy position was simply, look, young evangelicals want lawmakers to find solutions to this. And for a while, that was enough. And recently, the conversation nationally has been moving far enough where we need to start drilling down and supporting specific policies. Top of them is a revenue-neutral, non-regressive carbon tax. So it would be a steadily rising fee on carbon dioxide to send a strong signal to the market that we're finally going to start accounting for the true costs of digging up and burning fossil fuels. And this would be revenue neutral, so it wouldn't grow the government in any way, meaning it would either offset existing taxes, perhaps lowering income taxes or another tax, or it could be the revenues could be distributed to households as a dividend check. However, at the same time, a carbon tax won't account for other really harmful toxins and greenhouse gases. So we need targeted regulations as well, at the same time as we have a strong, broad, bipartisan tax on carbon.
Danielle, your thoughts?
I would agree with Kyle that our solutions need to not grow the government. And so where I would disagree with Kyle is when it comes to carbon taxes. I will say some solutions absolutely include lowering emissions and offsetting carbon. For example, in 2014, Delta Airlines voluntarily offset 935,037 tons of carbon through reforestation. And I think that incentivizing companies to do things like that will help immensely.
And Zanaji, your thoughts, what are your solutions here?
Yeah, so just going on like the point of the tax, Zero Hour actually doesn't support any form of carbon tax, because a big corporation could get by that easily because of how much money they're already making. But in addition to that, we think that one major thing that can be done is expanding public transport. I personally don't think that everyone needs to own a car. But right now, I mean, that is the reality because we have a lack of options with public transportation.
I have to say, just between the three perspectives we have at this roundtable, I'm feeling very motivated. I'm wondering, is your generation going to be the one that finally gets this right?
I believe we will be. I think our generation is very motivated on environmental issues, and I think that climate is a very pressing environmental issue. So I definitely think that we're the generation that will take action on it.
I agree. And one of the things I'm most inspired by is the fact that, you know, we have a conservative, a liberal, and a moderate here having a civil conversation, recognizing common ground and recognizing the common work that we all have to do together. We're sick and tired of it, and our futures are on the line. We're all in this together, and we all have to find solutions that we can live with. And I think that's what we're doing as a generation.
And Zanaji, your thoughts?
I think, yeah, definitely if like young people actually like start getting involved and these organizations that are working on climate actually really try to connect with young people and show them that this is an issue that should really be looked at, then we can definitely accomplish something.
Zanaji Artis is a freshman at Brown University and the co-founder of Zero Hour. Kyle Myard-Skop is a national organizer and spokesperson for Young Evangelicals for Climate Action, and Danielle Butcher is the chief operating officer of the American Conservation Coalition. Thanks to you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.